Placing America, Broken Politics, Broken Country is the book. The author, Roger Friedman. Hello, Dale here, as usual. He is, as he says, a Republican conservative anti-rhino, heavy on anti-rhino. After the conversation, I could tell that. I had a wonderful conversation with Roger dealing with the major problems facing our great country today. And since I'm a constitutional conservative, we tend to agree. He answered all my questions with the ease of knowing his topic. Roger pulled no punches and called them as he sees them. He talked about taxes, illegal aliens, minimum wages, health care, the budget, as well as several other topics, breaking up the country, the southern border. I told him about my show, Heartbreak on the Border, plus one or two. He said he'd take a look at it. We'll see. He has a weekly newsletter that is free. You can sign up for on his website, eocritic.com, which stands for Equal Opportunity Critic. He is too. He suggested that we read the book by Douglas McKinnon, 56, the story of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, which he says can give us a great idea of what's going on. I've already downloaded the book on Audible, so I'm going to be reading it myself. Enjoy the show and leave a review at my website, www.coffee-time-again.com. And thank you very much for watching. I hope you enjoy it.
Coffee Time Again, exposing the truth. Welcome to Coffee Time Again, exposing the truth. Dale at the microphone, the show that demonstrates how history repeats itself. He digs into the past, shows what happens, and how it is happening now. Follow the path of history to where it goes, then relate it to today to reveal the connections. The culture that forgets its history has no future. A history buff and loves to talk about it, going back as far as ancient Greeks and Egyptians and beyond. So grab your coffee, your chair, and listen to the show. Hope you enjoy.
Good morning. At least it is here where I'm at in Colorado. I hope you're going to enjoy the show. I'm Dale, host of Coffee Time Again, where we expose the truth. And today we're talking to Roger Friedman, and he's going to expose the truth on whatever he needs to expose the truth on. And I know it's going to be conservatism because he is a conservative, and so am I. I'm a constitutional conservative, so we're going to get along just fine. He mentions in one place on his bio that he's anti-rhino, and I like that a lot. So we're going to talk about that as well as a lot of other topics during the next hour. So enjoy the show and welcome. And Roger, who are you?
I am the son of a dry cleaner. I'm a New York City kid. I am a wealth manager and retirement strategist for the last 42 years. I left the high tax state of Maryland and meandered my way down south to the 0% tax, state tax income rate in Florida, okay? I am still working for a living because I enjoy working for a living. And as I looked about me over the last several years, especially since COVID, I found that so many government policies were headed down the road towards socialism. And I started to write about it, because I couldn't keep my thoughts to myself. I started a newsletter, and I sent it every Sunday to friends and family. And I continue to send that today. And what I would write about is the fact that we are on a path to socialism. And unless people get off of the couch and get to the voting polls, things are going to get worse.
I totally agree with you. They need to get out and start voting, and not to be dead people in Chicago.
Yes.
We had a discussion. I live in an assisted living facility. I got some bad health issues, so I'm retired, but I also have a bad memory problem. So anyway, first question I want to ask you, are the Republicans physically demented? That's a good question.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that was actually a line in a speech from Joe Biden maybe about a year ago, okay, when the budget talks were going on. It struck me, Dale, as a writer downer. So I heard that and I immediately ran to write that down so I didn't forget it. So he says that Republicans are fiscally demented because they want to live within our means, because we want a balanced budget, because we want thoughtful tax policy. And the idea that the rich are not paying their fair share, that's as old as Methuselah. You know, every time they need money, they come up with, well, the rich are not paying their fair share. We just want thoughtful fiscal policy. And so far out of the Biden administration, you know, they have been printing money like it's nobody's business. They give away money to pay off student loans when people were not coerced into signing their loan agreements. And if they took the history of lesbian ballet at a liberal college in Vermont, you know, and they expect to get a decent paying job where they can pay back their loans, we have a problem.
Amen. I didn't go to college until my 60s, but when I was in college, I paid for
Yes,
it. I think
as did
that's
I.
the way it ought to be done. If you want a loan, that's
Yes.
fine, but you pay the loan back when you get a job. And you take. I believe that college isn't for everybody.
Right.
I'm one of them. I wasn't ready for
I'm a
college.
big believer in trade school.
I am too. Me and Mike Rowe.
Yes.
So yeah, I agree with you that I didn't hear that from what Biden. I don't listen to Biden speeches even when he since he's dropped out of the race, for which I'm grateful. Except I hate to see Kamala Harris. I'm so afraid of that woman.
Yeah, I know you and me were staying up late at night worrying.
Yeah, I am. So it as I said, I'm a constitutional conservative, so I'm a member of the Constitution Party, not the Republican Party here in Colorado, which is a small group. We don't have anybody in the House or legislature. We haven't won any seats yet, but we will.
Right.
Growing. I believe in the Constitution 100%.
Absolutely.
You know, we need that Constitution. We need it, and there's one guy I sat at the table, and but there's a bunch of us. Chose to sit at that same table, and one guy said that Trump's going to get rid of the Constitution.
Well, you know, not to beat a dead horse. Well, let's beat a dead horse.
Sure.
Your friend Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, not my friend. Not Pocahontas.
Liberal Democrat senator from Massachusetts. Last year, she was railing against the Electoral College, as was AOC, my least three favorite initials in the English language. But we'll
Amen.
get into that a little more later on. But they were saying one man, excuse me, one person, one vote, and that they should get rid of the Electoral College. Now, let's see. The founding fathers put in the Electoral College so that there was not tyranny of the majority. It was a check and balance in the entire system. So AOC and Elizabeth Warren fancy themselves as smarter than the founding fathers. Dale, I have a problem with this. Do you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have a problem with AOC. I have a problem with Elizabeth Warren, and I have a problem with getting rid of the Electoral College.
Exactly. It's
Because
there for a reason.
in California, New York would elect the president.
Yes.
That's
Yes.
what the problem is with not having the Electoral College. The
Right.
last thing I want is California electing the president. And I lived in California for 13 years, and I had to get out of the state. It was just more than I could deal with. I had to come home.
I haven't been in California in 25 years, and it's one of the, I call them restricted states. I will not go to California. I will not go to New York. I did grow up in Manhattan, by the way. I will not go to Vermont. I will not go to Oregon or Colorado. So, or New Jersey. These are all hellhole, deep blue Democratic states. I forgot Minnesota. And I will not go there. So I'm 68, Dale. I could live the rest of my life very nicely without going to those states.
Yeah, and you've got Washington State.
Oh, in Washington State also. Absolutely. Don't
Yeah,
want to forget
Washington.
him.
My aunt was lived in Portland at the beginning of the major breakdown of the city, because the city's in total collapse.
Yes.
She moved out. She still lives in Oregon, but she's on her way down there to see
Well, I was
you.
going to say, if she stays in Oregon, she has to visit you because you sure as hell ain't going to visit her.
No, I'm not. I'm not going back. I have to go to California. My mother still lives there. She's 91. Oh,
You got to see Mama.
I got to take care of my mom.
Yes.
Got to get her into a home, and she's willing. But I got to
Right.
go. My sisters are going to be out, and my brother, and we're going to try to get her into an assisted living
I
facility.
hear you.
So, but I have to go to California as much as I hate to. I have a lot of friends there too.
You'll hold your nose while you're there.
What's going to happen to this reactor? It seems to me you're not a big fan of entitlements here, because it says, where does it end? Where does it end?
Well, and I have a real problem with entitlements. You could start off with the college kids not paying their loans back in hopes that President Biden, with a stroke of the pen, will erase their loans. Okay. But entitlements go a hell of a lot further. And if you don't mind, I'd like to spend a few moments on my least favorite three letters in the English language,
Okay.
AOC.
Yeah, be my guest.
Okay. So Ms. Cortez embraces the idea that if an illegal guy or girl manages to sneak under the fence in Texas, Arizona, or California, commit a felony, and sneak into our country, they are entitled to Medicare, Medicaid, retirement benefits, food stamps, and more. So in 2019, she authored House Bill 5071, the Embrace Act. And it was her brainchild from this inept economics-inspired graduate of some Boston college who's looking to erase our borders and financially bankrupt the country. Let me read for you directly from her bill. To provide access to federal public benefits for aliens without regard to immigration status of that alien or other purposes. Then it describes some of those benefits: any retirement, welfare, health, disability, public or assisted housing, post-secondary education, food assistance, unemployment benefit, or any other similar benefit for which payments or assistance are provided to an individual, household, or family eligible unit by an agency of the United States. What does that tell you, Dale?
Tells me she's a communist. Put it
Yes,
simply.
she's in favor of the nanny state. Anyone who manages to crawl on their belly and
Yeah.
get here illegally, which is a felony, is
It is.
entitled to all these taxpayer funds, which will bankrupt the country.
Yeah, it's
And I
already destroyed.
suppose the rich are not paying their fair share, so she would impose more taxes on the rich and corporations that are evil, et cetera, et cetera.
Have you studied or done any research on Woodrow Wilson?
I did a long time ago, but I'm so old that I've forgotten it. Please refresh
I've
my memory.
like three podcasts with him. He's either the main subject or a subplot to the podcast I'm doing. Woodrow Wilson brought us the income tax. When he was governor of New Jersey, he started a petition to get an amendment to the Constitution so we could have a graduated income tax. Before that, it was unconstitutional, as ruled by the Supreme Court three times. It's unconstitutional. Abe Lincoln and a couple of other presidents tried to get us into a, so he that's when he was governor of New Jersey. He got it done. Then in 1913 he became president. He was inaugurated in 1913. He was elected in 1912. So his first act was to put a bill before Congress to have a graduated income tax. And here's his selling points. The rich don't pay their fair share. It would never rise
That's
above
familiar.
7%. It would never rise above 7%. And it's only going to affect the rich. Does that any of that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I think they call that bracket creep.
I call it repeating history, because that's one of the things I'm very into is history. And Woodrow Wilson, despite Biden's ineptitude, I think Woodrow Wilson was probably our worst president. He was misogynist, he was Zionist, not Zionist, Southern Baptist. And if he wasn't a Southern Baptist, you weren't worth it.
Well, I think it was 2 days ago, someone on MSNBC compared Biden to George Washington.
Oh, God.
And I almost vomited.
Yeah, I just had a turn in my stomach, too. George
yeah.
Washington. I did a podcast on all of our founding fathers, including George. And I did one on racism and the founding fathers, and slavery and the founding fathers, religion and the founding fathers. So I've done a lot of podcasts on them, all audio, but... Washington did things. He was in college at 14.
Right.
He learned to read the Bible. That's how he learned to read when he was four. He read the Bible, and they all did back then. That's how they learned to read. He read the Bible, which I'm a very strong supporter of course. But George and all the founding fathers was such, so far ahead of their time. They came at the right time, but they were ahead of their time with the Constitution.
Dale, I agree, and let me give you a recommendation.
Sure.
Right now, I'm halfway through a wonderful book. It is about the signers of the Declaration of Independence. It's called The 56. I don't remember who the author is, but it is marvelous. There's about 5 or 6 pages on each of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, and it is a real eye-opener.
Okay, I'll get it. I'll probably get it in Audible instead, because I like to lay in bed and listen to my books.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, great. I'll pick it up. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. So, come up to the next question.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, it's an easy answer to this one. Where's America headed besides the cliff?
Well, we are circling the drain, if you want to think of a toilet.
Yeah.
You know, you can count the number of exceptionally bad policies. You could start with, of course, immigration, the borderless country. I have seen Senate testimony from Jordan, Comer and others that the number of illegal aliens is actually higher than the 14 million I thought. I think Ted Cruz of Texas might have said 18, but don't hold me to that. But it is a scary number, whatever the number is.
You want to go to my podcast, Outbreak on the Border? There's two of them. It's by a Border Patrol agent, 20 years, a supervisor on a Border Patrol. There's two podcasts there, Outbreak on the Border, that's 1 and 2. And he scares the living daylights out of me. Right?
Thank you. I will view those.
And he even says the northern border is almost as bad as the southern border.
Wow.
Because
so,
it's longer by 1,000 miles. It's got like 50 Border Patrol agents for the entire 3,000 miles. And they just walk across. It's not even a fence.
It's a travesty.
Yeah,
so immigration and the border is number one. Defund the police, number two. You remember when all the riots were going on in Minnesota and Washington State, and everyone was told to stand down. There was billions of dollars in damages, and literally no one went to jail.
No.
Okay. And it was heartbreaking to see what was going on and the fact that the government just stood by and let it happen.
And the news sources, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but
they were complicit.
Every radio,
TV, and newspapers outlet is owned by six corporations. So we're being controlled by the media we get. So let's get that.
Yeah, and Soros keeps trying to buy more.
Yeah, and he's putting his money behind Kamala. Kamala Harris was Attorney General of California, and she instituted this free bail nonsense. I did a podcast on that one too, on the bail system. And she instituted where they could, she wanted a GoFundMe page, but it was crowdfunding, pay the bail for these people. Then it got started, well, we don't need to pay, charge bail. Everybody wants to solve their problems. They'll come back to court. They got an 80% increase in failure to appear in Houston.
That's, you know, it's not rocket science, folks.
No.
So let's see, to continue on why we are circling the drain, executive departments making law, and the Supreme Court slapped them back last week. I think it was against the SEC, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Congress is the one that makes the law in this country. Executive right. departments do not have that authority or power. Okay.
Right.
CRT, DEI. I could go on with all these initials, but I don't want to turn your stomach, Dale.
Oh, yeah. I did a podcast on those two companies, too. That, my stomach's been turned pretty good by the podcast on CRT.
Yeah.
So those are just the cream of the crop. Those are not getting down into the nitty-gritty of what's going on.
Oh, I know. I remember, you know, when I send out my equal opportunity times every Sunday, and your viewers can, or listeners, excuse me, they can sign up for my weekly memo at eocritic.com.
Eocritic.com,
which is short for Equal Opportunity Critic. Okay. But in it, I remember writing about the fact that the military was using drag queens to help fill their ranks. And I wanted to hit my head against the wall repeatedly because I knew that when I stopped, it would feel so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a veteran, I am very disillusioned with our military.
Yes.
And what they're doing. And then a lot of that is Biden's and Kamala especially pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm very
they say DEI is important to the military. No, the military is about defending our country and killing the enemy.
Right.
And if there's any confusion about that, they could come and talk to me.
Or me.
Or you.
That's to be on my show and we'll have a wonderful discussion. I've had a few people on my show over the years.
But I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you certainly did. Very well, I might add. Do you believe in voter IDs?
Oh, my gosh, don't get me started. Well, yes, get me started.
Yeah.
Okay. So 5 years ago, before COVID, I was in Dallas at a marketing convention to listen to my mentor, Dan Kennedy. Genius. And I remember standing in line, waiting to, you know, check in. And I looked to my right. There was a big line there. And it read the Texas State Teachers Association. Okay, and it's like, okay, you know, there's another big conference right across from our conference, you know, big ballrooms.
Yeah.
I think it was the Hilton or Renaissance, I don't remember. And I remember seeing a sign. It said, picture ID required to sign up. And Dale, I wrote that down. I thought to myself, if teachers have to show a valid picture ID to get into a teacher conference, why does someone who wants to vote not have to show a valid government-issued ID? I don't get it. The only reason is to facilitate fraud. And if they tell us It is against Black people and other minorities. They're full of crap because I don't know one African-American who doesn't have an ID issued by the government.
I don't either. And I know lots of homeless. I was a drug and alcohol cast. I had a lot of homeless in my groups over the years.
Right.
They all had IDs. These are homeless people. They still had some form of ID that I would have stood at the voting booth.
Yeah. But I feel very, very strongly about everyone gets a picture ID if they want to vote. They have to prove their citizenship. Otherwise, they're gone.
Yeah, because that's just actually the next question is, what are the consequences? And again, it's an easy question of non-citizens voting.
Well, you remember Congress slapped down the Washington, D.C. City Council who voted to give aliens the right to vote in local elections. Mm-hmm. Now, the stupidity of the D.C. government is not lost on me. Unfortunately, I lived in Washington, D.C. for about 6 years.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s when I worked for E.F. Hutton. In downtown Washington, D.C. See, I'm old. E.F. Hutton, you remember that?
I remember them.
And E.F. Hutton talks people.
I'm older than you are. I'm older than you are, so I remember.
I just turned 68. So the point is that if you are not a citizen of the United States, you do not get to vote. As a matter of fact, I'd rather your ass be kicked out of here, and I hope Donald Trump does that within the first 100 days of his presidency.
I'm sure all of them are going to disappear over when Trump gets to be president. I think he made a good choice in J.D. Vance, too.
Yeah, and I just hope that they sweep the House and the Senate. That way they can get these bills through Congress, and he will sign them toot sweet.
Yeah, he'll sign them before they get the bill to him. And that's the consequences of them voting, I understand. And there's other states that are trying to do get them to vote in local elections. They know they can't do national elections yet, but they're working on that too.
Yeah, they want the people to be very, very grateful that the Democrats have granted them this authority and that they will, in gratitude, vote for all the Democrats, and we will have a one-party state eventually. Need I go on?
No, and I totally agree with you. We are headed toward a one. I'm just going to look this up, and I totally forgot all about it, looking them up. But Glenn Beck wrote a fiction, a couple books on fiction on that. Exact what we're talking about. I read both of them. The collectivism.
Right.
And the abuse that people suffered from being in a collective form of government. And compact, it was really good. Both books were really good. I can't remember the name of them, but I know Glenn Beck wrote it.
It'll come to you at 4 a.m.
Yeah, probably.
No, I'll
probably
don't be up. Call me.
I won't. I'll probably be up and I'll sit down at the computer and look up the book. I got it in my Audible because that's how I read it, was through the Audible.
Right.
But yeah. It's the same thing. It's where we're headed. If we don't do something and do it real quick and get rid of some of these liberals out of Congress, out of the government, get them out of the department, and we ought to eliminate a whole bunch of the department head. Not department heads, the whole department.
Everyone above the mailroom, you're out.
No, the whole department.
Oh, well, for example, the Department of Education, I think, should metaphorically be burned to the ground. Okay, you return all educational prerogative to the states.
And to the counties and school boards.
Exactly.
That's where the Constitution
is. Title IX goes to hell.
Yeah, absolutely. George Washington got by with 40 partners. I think we can do pretty good with about 5 or 6 out of the 20-some-odd that they have. And I can say that because my son works for the Commerce Department. So, I can still say we don't need the Commerce Department.
I hear you.
So I can find a real job.
Yeah.
He's going to be 50 here pretty soon because I am 74.
Got it.
So
you got a baby face with 74, Dale.
That's I'm the youngest person in my nursing in the home I'm in the facility I'm in. I'm one of the youngest. I think I am the youngest one here.
Are you in a CCRC, a continuing care retirement community?
Yeah, continue. I'll go from here to assisted living, from I'm an independent living right now.
Yeah, my stepmom was in one for years. Yes.
Yeah. And then I go into the memory care in the end.
Right.
Public school teachers and their hidden agendas of CRT. We know that.
Oh my gosh. You know, I would like, I don't know that this is workable, but I want you to just get an idea. So I want monitors to be monitoring what is taught in the classrooms. And if a teacher goes off the rails with DEI, CRT, trans testicles, on and on and on, they are booted and fired and they are shown out of the building and their ID is confiscated. You are gone, okay? You refuse to abide by the rules. You are out of here and no, you will not get a recommendation.
No, and I did that podcast show. I don't remember the gentleman's name. It's been a while since I've done it. Actually, it's only been a month. He's in there now, and he was saying that CRT starts in the school board. When they set the curriculum, and they may not use the word CRT or DEI, but they're using the philosophy of CRT.
Yeah,
and the word
is just bad.
So we got to start not at the school, not in the school classroom. We got to start with the school board.
Oh, yeah, it's a matter of the grassroots and not voting these people into power.
Right.
Okay. Because I remember when I was growing up in the 60s in Manhattan.
Yeah.
No one knew anything about school boards, voting for school board members. You know, if you were lucky enough to get a postcard in the mail, it went right in the garbage.
Yep. I remember that when I grew up in a very small town here in Colorado. And about the whole county had like 350 people in it. A little less than you have in Manhattan. And I, at the same time, in the 60s, I was in schools in the 50s and 60s. Graduated in 69.
Right.
So, we didn't talk about school board.
No, it wasn't on the agenda.
We didn't talk about CRT. We didn't talk about, as you put it, trans testicles and DEI and equity instead of equality. We talked about equality. We were equal. We had civics, we had history, we had shop, we had home ec.
Yeah. Civics. I remember civics.
Yeah. I've got a podcast coming up Friday on civics. I think it is. Or maybe I've already done it. But I know I got one. But it's on civics. What it really means and what we need to bring it back into our school system. We need to bring reading, writing, and arithmetic back to our school system.
Yeah, and when it comes to equality, his name escapes me right now. He was the African-American fellow who ran for president. He became Trump's Health and Human Services Secretary. He was the neurosurgeon.
Oh, I'm trying to think of it. I know him too, and I can't. Ben Carson.
Yes, thank you, Ben Carson. So if there were systemic racism, a Ben Carson could not exist.
That's right.
A Jesse Jackson could not exist. You know, the senator from Florida, no, not the senator, the congressman from Florida, who was, you know, they were thinking about him as a possible vice president for Trump. His name escapes me right now. Mm-hmm. But all of these people that have risen to prominence in America would not be possible.
No.
But the reason it is possible is because of two things and two things only. Decisions and behavior. Okay. Ben Carson decided that he was not going to remain in the ghetto for the rest of his life like everyone around him. And his behavior was what caused him to follow a path and persist and do that until he got to where he got to at Johns Hopkins.
Yep.
Okay. Decisions and behavior. That's what separates everyone. And there's no color with decisions and behavior.
No. I'm an Episcopalian, and our presiding bishop is an African American. And he's retiring, so we're getting a new one in. And right now, it looks like it's going to be a woman.
Right.
So there is no discrimination going on. And the Episcopal Church is incredibly a liberal church. I have not arguments, but we have several discussions with my priest, and she's a woman. I have a woman priest.
Right. And we care about the character that you present, not the color of your skin.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer. One of the guys that sits at the table with me is an African American. And I did an interview with a gentleman. And I introduced him as an African American. The first words that are out of his mouth, he says, "No, I am not an African. I know no Africans. My family knows no Africans. No relatives in Africa. I am an American."
Right. I hear you loud and clear.
I heard him loud and clear. And I just stopped the conversation for a few minutes because I was so happy to hear somebody say what I believe.
Yes.
There's one African American that I know of. Barack Obama. Because his daddy was African, his mama was white.
And I remember there was a quote I learned last year from his spouse, who said she has never been proud of America.
No.
And that speaks volumes to me.
It does. It really does. It speaks of Chicago politics for me.
Yes, yes.
And of course,
what other good questions do you have, Dale?
Well, they're your questions, and I'm just asking. 5 ways, we the people. Key phrase, we the people. I like it, can create change.
The first thing we, the people, have to do is agree that change is needed. Once we understand that change is needed, that we have an objective, yes, change what is broken, then we have to get off of our collective tushies, asses, bum, yep, back ends, get off of the couch and actually do something, sustained activity. Let me give you an example. So I moved to Florida 3 years ago. For a year, I rented while we looked around for a permanent home. We found it after a year. We're in our permanent home. We've been here for 2 years. I have joined the Sons of the American Legion. I did not serve in the military, but my dad was in the U.S. Army Air Force, mm-hmm, stationed in the Rhine Valley.
Yeah.
I have joined 3 local Republican clubs, and I go to their meetings. I contribute to the candidates. I contribute to their budgets. And I make myself heard. I get off my butt and I go and I get myself heard. I volunteer for committees. I do the work.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting home watching reruns of NCIS and wondering why things are so bad and blaming it on everyone else.
I totally agree with that philosophy of getting off your butt and going and doing something. Because I'm a member of VFW, American Legion, because I am a vet.
And thank you for your service, Dale.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. In fact, I was wearing one of my hats, my VFW hat, in Walmart the other day, and there were like 6 people. Thank you for your service and helping me do things because I'm disabled. And I'm in one of those electric carts. Okay. They were right, helping pack things out to the counter.
Well,
and
on the... On the third Friday of every month, my town closes down Main Street, and there are about 100 different vendors.
Yeah.
And we roll out a grill from the American Legion, and we set it up in the parking lot of a bar, and we grill hamburgers and hot dogs for $5. And I always help at the grill every third Friday, and it's wonderful just to interact with people. make them aware of the American Legion and the Sons of the American Legion, and sign them up.
Yep. That's how I became a member of the VFW. I was coming out of the grocery store in California, and they asked me, was I a combat veteran? Well, I am. Not, but I am. It's one of those secret Nixon wars.
Sure.
You know, that nobody
I
knows
can tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Right.
Right.
And I said, well, yeah, but you're never going to find any records of it. And we don't care. We want you in here. So I became a VFW member.
Got it.
I haven't transferred my membership yet to Colorado. I've been here 5 years and haven't went around to it.
You'll get around to it.
Yeah. Is there a cure for a broken system, political system?
You know, I don't know, but I can hope. You know, I remember, I think it was a letter that John Adams wrote back in the 1700s, and I quoted in my book, you will find it. And mm-hmm. when you find it, you're going to go, oh yes, Roger spoke about this letter.
Yeah.
And he was worried, and he mentioned that one of the greatest threats he sees to our system is the rise of two powerful parties mm-hmm. that would always be in opposition to each other, and the powerful leaders of each party butting heads continuously, vying for supreme power. And he said, that is the thing under our arrangement that scares me more than anything else. And Dale, he was spot on.
He's not the only one that said it, and I remember the phrase. Even Ben Franklin said, we give you a republic if you can keep it.
If you can keep it, yes. That's in my book also.
Yeah. Maybe I've read your book in various letters, because I have a copy of the Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, which predates them. Yeah. And I'm getting it, and I have in my Audible the Federalist Papers. You'll find a lot of good stuff.
I got the Federalist Papers right behind me.
Yeah.
When I can't sleep, I read them.
Yeah, I mean, they're just I've read bits and pieces of them. I haven't read the whole book yet.
It's very difficult reading. It's kind of like reading Shakespeare.
Yeah, it is. Because it's about the same thing. English was not English back in those days. That was England.
Yes.
England, exactly. But this is a self-answering question. Should American taxpayers subsidize their people's health care? You've already answered that question.
Yeah, and I don't know of any other way to quickly bankrupt this nation, because look what happens when you open the borders. Nonstop, millions and millions of people keep coming through. When do they stop? When it's a billion? When Americans are the minority and they just keep printing paper? Hyperinflation? The destruction of our republic? You know, it's got to be... We've got to get rid of people like AOC and the socialists and get back to fiscal sanity.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree. It has to be more.
We can't afford everything. You know, Dale, no. I'm sorry, but I can't afford to buy you a Bentley. I apologize from the bottom of my heart, but I can't afford it.
I like my little Toyota.
You might want it, but you ain't going to get it.
I like my Toyota.
I hear you.
Again, this is another easy question. I got several more on the back of my mind if I can bring them forward. Guaranteed employment. There was some state around here that tried that, or city that tried that. And they
guaranteed employment and universal income. And a number of the states and cities have been flirting with universal income. There are places in California and Washington State, and I think Oregon and Colorado, that are giving $1,000 a month, especially if you're, you know, a trans person. Yeah. You know, I don't get it that you deserve taxpayers' money because of your sexuality. I don't get it. Or because of the color of your skin. And that violates the Equal Opportunity Clause of the Constitution. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought I'd make you aware of that.
Yeah,
But because of who you screw or what you look like, you're not entitled to my money. I'm sorry. And
I'm not sorry.
Yeah, and insofar as everyone's entitled to a job, no. And I wrote about this in the book, Erasing America, Broken Politics, Broken Country. Here's the two things, Dale, that you're entitled to. Are you ready? So write her down. Number one, air. Number two, water, if you can find it in the forest, not on the shelf at Safeway.
Right.
Air and water, you are entitled to. You are not entitled to anything else. Everything else has to be earned, worked for, or given to you by a family member who loves you, who doesn't want to see you living in a box on Main Street.
The one that really started the entitlement age was Franklin Roosevelt.
Yes, 65. Yes.
No, Franklin Roosevelt was 45 when he died.
Oh, no, I was talking about when Social Security, after the German experiment of 65, yes.
Yeah, that was Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Okay.
The good Texas cowboy that couldn't run. Well, nasty man. But Franklin Roosevelt started Social Security. He brought us Social Security. He brought us, Lyndon brought us Medicaid and Medicare. Johnson brought us several entitlement programs, 100 of them or better, different types of entitlement programs. He's the one that took the lockbox off of Social Security. Because his Congress had voted to put Social Security money in the general fund instead of keep it in a lockbox as a guarantee of Social Security for the elderly. And that started with Franklin Roosevelt in 40, when was it? I don't remember. 47, before he died, obviously.
By the way, Dale, a sixth grader can fix Social Security. You may want to ask me how.
I do. All right, ask, how are we going to fix Social Security?
Okay. So I actually had a discussion with a very bright sixth grader while I was on vacation. And we spoke about Social Security, believe it or not. And I gave him a little background because he knew his grandma and grandpa were on Social Security and he had heard discussions, so he knew the name. So I gave him a bit of the background. I gave him a bit of the problem. And then I wrote out some of the bullet points. So for example, when you're working, you pay Social Security tax on the first, I think it's $168,600 of earnings. Okay. And you pay about 12.4% a year into Social Security. The employer pays half and the employee pays half. If you're self-employed, you pay it all. Okay. So the three things that we came up with to immediately add at least 50 years to Social Security is, number one, instead of paying Social Security tax only on the first $168,000, bring it up to $250,000. That will immediately put billions more in the coffer. Mm-hmm. Number two, the Social Security minimum retirement age is 62, where you could begin to receive benefits. Bring it up to 64, okay? And when you have to start receiving Social Security, instead of 70 to 72, because we're all living longer.
Yep.
Number three, means testing. So if I have 10 million bucks and I have great income, I don't need the Social Security.
Oh.
I would be able to sign a waiver where legally I am foregoing that benefit. Maybe they'll give me a gold star on my coffin. I don't know. But the fact is that if I'm uber rich, Elon Musk,
mm-hmm.
Warren Buffett, you don't get the Social Security payout.
No.
So if you change those three things, you would immediately add decades and decades and decades and shore up Social Security.
Yeah, well, I did an interview with the gentleman who worked for Social Security for 10 years. When he rose up to a supervisory position. And he says the problem with Social Security is it's not as big a problem as they're making it out to be. The scare tactic. Government scare tactic. Social Security is
well,
not going to go
supposedly
up.
In 11 years, they're only going to have enough money to pay 83% of the benefit. That's what the articles tell us in the media.
Yeah, and according to him, that's not true.
I believe it.
You know, and it's one of my podcasts that I did. I mean, I get these people that, like you, who have a message to pass out that the American people need to hear. Now, I'm not the biggest podcaster out there. Don't get me wrong. But I think American public needs to hear this stuff.
Yeah, because we cannot trust the media.
Oh, we cannot trust the media. Any of them. Used to be in the beginning when Roger Ailes had it, Fox News was pretty good. But it's gotten so bad now that I don't even listen to it much anymore.
Just like you, when I grew up, Walter Cronkite was on every night at 6 o'clock. The news was done at 6:30, and there was no more news until the next day.
That's right.
And he gave us fact. Very rarely did he give us opinion. Give me the facts, I will draw my own opinion.
Yeah, and then that's the way it should be. Walter Cronkite at one time was the most trusted man in America.
Exactly.
We knew he was telling us the truth.
Yes.
We knew we were not getting his opinion or some talking head's opinion. We're getting facts.
Yeah, I don't want your opinion if you went to Oberlin College.
Yeah.
Or the New School for Social Research or Yale.
Especially Yale.
Yeah.
Or with my sister. It's just, you know, I went to a small local community college in California for four semesters. I didn't graduate.
Have you ever heard of SUNY?
No.
State University of New York.
Okay.
I went to school between Rochester and Buffalo.
Yeah.
Lovingly called the armpit of New York.
My niece was in Buffalo. I went to Saudi University, University of the South. It is religious. There was a seminary. And I took a 4-year course from there. Because I don't have a diploma because it was not accredited.
Right.
But my college experience. A little bit of Yuba College in California and Saudi University of South of Tennessee, which was religious.
If I had it to do all over again, I'd go to a trade school and I'd learn welding. And I had a friend back in the Washington, D.C. days in the 80s. He was a diver for the D.C. Police Department. Divers made over $100,000 a year.
Yeah, you just wanted to be rich, that's all.
This was in the 80s because when a car or a person went into the river, he found them.
Or a plane. That happened a couple of times.
And then he went on to become an underwater welder, and he earned $200,000 a year.
I'm going to say he made $1 million a day. That one.
On pipelines, yes.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. Which is not unusual for me. So we'll move on to something else. Your book, What Inspired It?
So here's my book, Erasing America, Broken Politics, Broken Country.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired it was I would sit down in the morning and look at what the media told me was going on. And I kept seeing all of these policies out of Washington and the blue states that were anti-American, that were socialist in nature, that were entitlements, that was no fiscal restraint. And have you ever heard of Ron White? He said, I have the right to remain silent. I just didn't have the ability. So like Ron White, I took pencil to paper, literally. You see, I like paper behind me.
I noticed.
And I started writing a Sunday update, which I called the Sunday memo.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it to colleagues and friends and family. And I said, if you like it, let me know. I'll keep doing it. And it was one page a week. And in it, I would rant about all the crap that I saw that was coming out of DC. And they all said, oh, we love it, but you missed this, that, and the other. So it became 1,500 words a week. And I am now just writing number 81.
Okay.
So I've done it for the last 81 weeks. And on my website, eocritic.com, you could sign up for the Equal Opportunity Times. I send it out for free most Sundays.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I've got when I do my show notes, it'll be there.
If you look at the blog on my website, those are my Equal Opportunity Times.
I started out as a blog before I became a podcast, and I noticed nobody was reading what I was writing. So I said, well, I'm going to make it read what I'm going to write. I'm going to put it in a podcast, and they'll listen. So that's our podcast.
Well, you know, I think I'm the only person in America who doesn't have a podcast.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, yes, I really have. That's my claim to fame, Dale.
I had to really look for a niche. So I went with history as it repeats itself and causes its problems today, a.k.a. the taxes from Wilson. It's the same rhetoric that they're using from 1913. You know, I just did one on the Civil War, on Gettysburg, with a gentleman.
Dale, I remember when I had my first job where I paid federal income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for my dad's laundry right near Times Square.
Yeah.
And he put me on the payroll. I was earning $150 a week. And I remember vividly receiving my first paycheck and the pay stub. And I'm looking at what the federal government took out, what New York State took out, New York City took out, and a guy named Fika, who I didn't know who that was. And I said, Dad, who the hell is Fika and why is he taking my money?
Right.
And I remember adding it all up, and it was well over 35% that was being taken out in taxes. And here I was earning $150 a week.
Right.
And I got an eyeful at that.
I didn't do that when I was, because my first pay, federal tax money paid, was at 14. And I was working as a dishwasher,
potato peeler, I've done that.
And a potato peeler in a restaurant in Cree, my hometown, Cree, Colorado. And I said, it's very small. I'm making 50 cents an hour.
I got 50 cents an hour when I babysat.
Yeah. I got $1 an hour for that one. After I got out of the military. So, about out of time here. Is there anything that you want to add to this discussion? We've had a really wide-ranging discussion. I think you've done an incredible good job.
Thank you.
I'm glad to have interviewed you. If you write another book, let me know and we'll have you back.
Well, in the meantime, Erasing America, Broken Politics, Broken Country, available on Amazon. The only thing that I ask is if you read it and it resonates with you, write a review. Just make sure it's honest. I don't care how many stars. Just make sure it's an honest review.
Yeah. All right. I'm a recovered alcoholic. So I'm going to tell the truth. But it took me till I was 40 years old, damn near 40 years old.
Everyone at their own time.
Yeah. So I cannot tell a lie. I'm like George Washington, but I can't throw a dollar coin across the Potomac. Anyway, Roger, thank you.
Dale, thank you for your time, and thank you for a wonderful interview.
Don't take off. I'm just going to end the recording. We'll still be on here.
Okay.
Because I want to tell my listeners, you heard him in his book, and it'll be in my show notes, and another book that he's really half on. I'm going to put that in there, too, my show notes, because I think it's an important edition. It's called 56. And it's the founders.
Dale, do you want me to run and get that book so I could tell you who the author is?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, also, real quick.
Yeah, it's in the other room. Just give me 30 seconds.
No, I won't.
Okay, here's the book. Liberty Lessons from Those Who Risked All to Sign the Declaration of Independence. It's called The 56 by Douglas MacKinnon. MacKinnon.
Yeah, I've heard that name from somebody else wrote something, and I see.
Wonderful book.
So I think I've read something by him, and I agree, he's an excellent author. Anyway, I'm going
to
start.
Thank you for listening to the show. There are show notes and a place to comment at https://coffee-time-again.libsyn.com/website. He hopes that you liked what you heard and will tell others about him. Dale is attempting to get a following that both disagrees and agrees with him. He does not want yes men. If you disagree, wonderful. He is happy to have you here as a part of the Coffee Time Again team. Dale does not talk about the news of the day. He is attempting to give a history lesson that is just as important about what is going on in the headlines of today. Please do not hesitate to contact him. Just remember that Dale wants a clean show, meaning no cussing, name calling, yelling, or hate allowed. You can disagree with him and not be disagreeable about it. Support him and help keep this alive. https://glow.fm/coffee-time-again.